This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yep, sounds good. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وموالا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a very beautiful, very moving passage describing his prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. He says, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَا عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And he turned away from them, crying, Alas for Joseph! His eyes went white with grief, and he was filled with sorrow. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفَ حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ. They said, by God, will you keep on remembering Joseph until your health is ruined or you die?
قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
He said, I only complain of my anguish and my sorrow to God, to Allah. Allah has made known to me things that you do not know.
يَا بَنِيَ اذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ.
Go, my sons, and seek news of Joseph and his brother. Do not despair of God's mercy. None but those who deny the truth despair of God's mercy. This is a passage from Surah number 12, Surah Yusuf, ayahs number 84 to 87. It describes a small scene, a small glimpse into the life of Yaqub alayhi salam after many years had passed of him losing his son Yusuf alayhi salam. And after he had received the news that his other youngest son, his other son who was now his youngest son actually, Binyamin in the biblical tradition, Benjamin, was also squandered by the elder 10. The elder 10 were responsible for squandering Yusuf. And also now, many, many years later, they were responsible for squandering Binyamin. So when he heard this news, when he got this news, he was extremely, extremely grief-stricken, saddened in ways that are very, very difficult to put in words. And this is what I want to speak about. How is it that we as human beings, how do we deal with our pain? How is it that we can perhaps, like, how do we feel pain? Should we feel pain? Should we feel regret? Or is it all just a waswasa from shaytan? And what should be the course of action accordingly? This is something that is very, very important to understand, particularly in the light of our Prophet Yaqub. And I'm going to speak about his particular story And afterwards, I'm going to loop that into the life of the Prophet ﷺ and some lessons for us. Ya'qub alayhi salam. I'm going to focus on three words in his story, but one in particular. Okay? The three words that I will focus on is firstly him saying, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ يَا أَسَفَ. Technically, Arabic grammar-wise, it's two words, but in the Quranic writing, it's written as one word. So that's the first word. It is translated as, alas for Joseph. I'm extremely, extremely pained by by losing him. Second word is huzn. Huzn is translated as grief. And that's the focus of our lecture, pain and grief. How does Allah describe it? And how does He describe the causes of it? And how does He describe people managing their pain and eventually, moving past it? Eventually, or not letting that pain cripple them. And then also the word kalvim. He was filled with sorrow. Kalvim also means to bite down or something, and to hold, hold it inside you very deeply, kind of suppressing it. So there is this suppressed sorrow. There is this sorrow that's affecting him physically to the point where he loses his eyesight. And then there's a sorrow that he's expressing in words. Ya'qub alayhi salam. Let's talk about the pain, the suffering, the sorrow of our Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. The context, as I described, is him receiving news that his eldest 10 have also now squandered Benjamin, Binyamin, along just like they had squandered Yusuf many years before. On this, Sheikh Sa'di says, for example, he says this is a type of a reopening of his wounds. Many years had passed since he had lost Yusuf. And when he had lost Yusuf, he had said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I'm going to be patient in the most beautiful way. But now, having lost another child in eerily similar circumstances, that caused his wounds to be reopened. And thus he says, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf, alas for Joseph. Al Asaf, like Sheikh Sa'di says, is Shiddatul Huzn ala Mafat. It is extreme pain, extreme grief for what has been lost. And now he's feeling that not just at the loss of his child, but also at the loss of his previous child. Al-Qurtubi describes this, وَالنِّدَاءُ عَلَى مَعْنَى تَعَالَ يَا أَسَفْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَوْقَاتِهِ. It's almost like saying, come grief, because he's saying, oh my grief, يَا أَسَفَ. The expression is as if he's inviting grief because he's so grief-stricken, might as well invite it. It's time for a grief to make its appearance. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَوْقَاتِهِ. This is Al-Qurtubi's explanation of why he says, Ya Asafa. Sheikh Sa'di says, أَظَهَرَ مِنْهُمْ مَا كَمُنَا مِنَ الْهَمِّ الْقَدِيمِ وَالشَّوْقِ الْمُقِيمِ وذكرته هذه المصيبة الخفيفة بالنسبة للأولى المصيبة الأولى. Very interesting. He said this calamity that happened to him now, it reopened something that was deeply buried inside of him. That was him dealing with the pain of losing his child Yusuf. And this is something we have to understand. Pain is not just like an instant. It's not like hunger. You're hungry. Eat something and hunger goes away. Okay, pain remains, and other instances may reopen those wounds. Other instances may cause pain to come back, and a person to relapse into a state of suffering, even fall into serious mental health problems like a state of depression. This is something that's a real reality. Of how we deal with our emotions. The Quran does not teach us to suppress our emotions. The Quran teaches us to understand our emotions so we can, once we understand them, we can figure out the best strategy on how to deal with them. And this is the key thing about the Quran's narrative. This is the key things about the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's always about how do I deal with the emotions? Not suppress them and hide them and forget about them. No, no. How is it that I can continue being productive? How can I not become paralyzed by emotions that I feel? Okay. So that is our Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam's initial description. Ya asafa. That's the first word. The second word that I wanted to speak about was huzn. Huzn. Which is described or is explained as sadness, grief, the opposite of joy, according to Al-Raghib al-Asfahani, the opposite of joy. Now, what's interesting is there's two nouns in the Quran to describe sadness and grief. And then there is a verbal form of that noun as well. It's not Arabic grammar class, don't worry. I'm not going to drop grammar on you. But if you want to learn Arabic grammar and you want to learn about how to understand Quran, steps to Arabic at alkotha.org, inshallah. It's a shameless plug right there. The sadness, there's two nouns for this. Number one noun is huzn. Number two is hazan. And then there is the verbal form of it that is related to both of these nouns. Now, let me break it down a little bit and make some observations about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these two nouns. The scholars of Arabic lexicon and etymology, they say equivalent, these are two synonymous words. Let's look at some examples of how they explain this word, and also some examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these two words, huzn and hazan. Very interesting, because the usage highlights a very subtle detail that I think is very important in understanding the concept of pain and grief. In Lisan al-Arab, they say, وَالْحُزَانَةُ بالضم التخفيف عيال الرجل عيال للرجل or عيال الرجل الذين يتحزنوا بأمرهم ولهم. He says a person's family is called حزانة. حزانة. حزانة from the same root, the same origin as حزن, because these people, this close family members of this person, they're the ones who this person is concerned about. Like his concern, his happiness and sadness is related to their happiness and sadness. So they're literally called huzana. Okay? So that huzana is, an explanation of how huzn is in its etymology related to grief, and it's the opposite of sadness. And it's used by the Arabs, the old ancient Arabs, to describe the people, or to describe specifically the family members that you are concerned whether they are sad or happy. They're called huzana. Okay. Now, the word huzn in the Quran, huzn. That's the first instance of it as a noun. Okay, let me talk about the nouns first. Huzn is used in the Quran in this passage that I just recited to you from Surah number 12, from Surah Yusuf. Huzn. Okay, that's the only place in the Quran that it is used in its noun format with the sukoon or the jazm on the za. Huzn. Pertinent. Let's look at this. Let me share my screen to show you this. He said, oh, I can't share my screen. SubhanAllah. Sorry. Huzn is a pain that Yaqub al-Islam is feeling. This is pain that he is feeling that is having an effect on him physically. It's pain that he's feeling that is really making it's making him cry, and it's pain that goes away and then it's reopened, as I mentioned, by another related instance that is just as painful. So that's the usage of huzn, something that's painful, something that hurts. The usage of the word hazan with the fatha or the zabr on the za is used in the Quran as a noun to generally describe regrets, the pain of regret. Okay, same root, ha, za, nun, very similar words, very close meaning, something that's painful. But the Quran uses the word with the fatha, hazan, to describe the regret of pain. Or more precisely, the Quran is using it to describe pain that a person feels as they're regretting something, regretting some choices. You could say huzn is pain you feel, not because of a choice you made, but it's a feeling. It's an emotion that you are trying to grapple with, probably because of something that someone else did. Whereas hazan is a pain that is regretful because of an action that you have done or a missed opportunity. Okay, let's look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in surah number 9, ayah number 92, وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَتَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. I'm only sticking, by the way, to the qira'ah of Hafsa Nasim. This is surah number 9, ayah 92, in which Allah says, no blame is attached to those who come to you, who came to you to be provided with mounts. And when you, the Prophet ﷺ here is you, when you, O Prophet, said to them, I can find no mounts for you, they went back and tears welled up in their eyes with hazan, sadness, since they could not find any way to contribute. This is talking about the Sahaba who missed the opportunity to participate in the battle of Tabuk. And well, of Tabuk was a battle where the supplies were short. So if a person was not able to have the supplies to endure a lengthy travel, they were simply not allowed to join. Now, there were others in the Muslim community who had donated, allowing others who were not able to have the financial means to go fight, allowing them to go and join the fight with the Prophet ﷺ. However, those resources were also limited. So when the Prophet ran out of those resources, those mounts, those camels that could take them from Medina to Tabuk and all the way back, when people came volunteering to join the army with the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet's like, I don't have anything to take you with me on this journey, an extended journey of months. At this missed opportunity, تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا. These people were crying, حَزَنًا, regretfully. Okay? Because they missed the opportunity of being in this historic battle with the Prophet ﷺ, which ended up being the last major battle that he ﷺ led himself. So these people are crying out of the missed opportunity. Another example is how Allah describes the people of Fir'aun and his family. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. Ayah number 8, surah number 28. Then the Pharaoh's household picked him up, talking about Musa alayhi salam here. He was picked up by Fir'aun and his family as he was floating by the river. And Allah says, later to become for them an enemy and a source of grief, a source of hazan, pain that is regretful. And this is very interesting, because that was a choice that the Pharaoh made. He made the choice, the brutal choice, of murder, mass murder, the children of Bani Israel, they were mass murdered by the Pharaoh. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. He was slaughtering your sons and letting your daughters stay alive. Musa alayhis-salam's mother, of course, tried to rescue him by putting him in in the river, in a basket, and then he's floating down the river. And this was by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lo and behold, the baby is rescued by the wife of the Pharaoh, Asiya radiallahu anha. And this baby grows up in the house of the Pharaoh, and that's baby Musa alayhi salam, ends up being the one who takes down the tyrant, the oppressor, the murderer, Fir'aun. But the choice that the Pharaoh made, Fir'aun made, was a choice that he will regret later. And that's why Allah calls it Hazanan, with the Fatha, Hazan. Another example is the regrets of this world. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. SubhanAllah, very beautiful passage. We ask Allah to make us of the people who will say this in paradise. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. They will say, praise be to God. This is people in paradise. They will say, praise be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, who has taken away all sorrow from us, all grief from us. إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Our Lord is forgiving and appreciative. Again, the word hazan is used with the fatha, describing regrets that a person is may have had in the world. What these people in paradise are saying, Alhamdulillah, we have no regrets. Now we're in paradise. The Quran describes the people of paradise as إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُولًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. These are people who are in paradise. They're living happily forever. And لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا. Not desiring any change in their circumstances. In other words, if somebody theoretically came to the people of paradise and said, let's go to a better place in paradise, they would be like, we're content, we have no regrets, we're totally happy here. And that's an amazing feeling, to have no regrets, to have no pain. That is the state the people of paradise will live in. SubhanAllah. A state of not feeling the pain of regret, because they actually made it. Walhamdulillah, we ask Allah to make us of those people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is how the noun is used. We did a little bit of word study here, okay? And I wanted to take you all on this journey to show you the depth of the Quran's expression, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses similar sounding words, but very precisely and very subtly to convey a subtle meaning. So now that we have two very similar words, two similar nouns, one that talks about pain, huzn, that is an emotion probably caused by somebody else's action, pain that you're probably feeling because of what was done to you by somebody else or circumstances that you don't control. And that huzn is used in the Quran to describe the state of our Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. Pain that is that's deeply inside a person, that's emotion, that's from within, and generally because of consequent choices others made, consequences of those choices. Hazan, as Allah is using it, is to describe consequences of your own choices and the regrets that a person will feel, and then the subsequent pain they will feel because they made that choice and the consequences of those choices. That is with hazan. Both those things are together. Both those comprise pain and grief. Both of those are part of that emotion. Things that we do, and we feel the pain because we did that, and we regret it, and we regret either the missed opportunity or we regret doing something and now we're living with the consequences of our actions. Or it is pain of just stuff that has happened to us. The loss of a child, the loss of a family member, the loss of normalcy like we are today. What's normal is completely gone out the window. All of this is painful. And That is how Allah holistically describes pain in the Quran. That's a real thing. And we gotta understand this emotion, understanding it so that we can look at the prophets mentioned in the Quran and look at our Prophet on how they went through the most extreme circumstances of pain and grief, and then how they managed this emotion. How they didn't let this emotion take over themselves. The Quran also describes pain as a verb. And that's a fascinating study, and I'll brief you on that. The pain of hearing hurtful words. The pain of hearing painful words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about to the Prophet, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We know it hurts you, or we know what they say hurts you. Talking about the enemies of the Prophet, they will say things to the Prophet and it would really hurt him. It would make him genuinely sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acknowledging that. That's a real thing. You cannot be a robot and not feel pain because of what others are saying. The Prophet felt that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured him, consoled him. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ. It's not that they're rejecting you, O Prophet. وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. It is rather the signs of God that these evildoers are rejecting. There's the very famous description in the Quran of فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The expression of, that Allah uses to describe the believers very frequently in the Quran, approximately a dozen or more times. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Two la's. No fear, and these people will not be grieving. Okay? And it's an interesting expression because the fear is used as a noun and the grief is used as a verb. So there is no fear and they won't be grieving. One of the explanations that is explained to identify why Allah uses this expression in the Quran so much is as follows. This is describing people who are believers and the state of mind of the believer. The state of mind of the believer is when they have done their best to do whatever it is their religion requires. The act of devotions are as the best that they could offer. When that is done, la khawfun alayhim. There's no fear of what's about to come. Because they know, alhamdulillah, we've done our best and now Allah is the most merciful. He will take care of the rest. And number two, there is no pain for what has passed. There's no regrets of what happened in the past. Maybe, you know, things could have been better. But alhamdulillah, we tried our best. That's the mindset that the believer carries with him or her. And that's how Allah describes constantly, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. As I mentioned, many, many times in the Quran, close to a dozen times in the Quran, this expression is used to describe how the believer doesn't feel this way. The point being, all of these meanings are interrelated. Hearing painful words from others that makes a person feel sad. The Prophet is told, وَلَا تَحْزَنَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Don't let their words or actions make you regret the choices you made. Because the Prophet made a choice. He made a choice to call this person to Islam. He made a choice to make, you know, for example, put himself out there in a vulnerable situation. And then that vulnerability was exploited by the people of Quraysh to mock him, to make fun of him. So Allah said, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْهُمْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Don't look to what they have and don't regret the choices that you make. Meaning, you made your choice, you did the best you can. Now, just move on with it. Don't go back and beat yourself up on the past. Don't try to change the past. Don't try to change the past. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Again, the same word is used. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. Same root, this time as a verb. All of these meanings together, what do they give us? They give us a very beautiful, comprehensive understanding of pain and grief in the Quran. Pain that's caused by loss. Pain that is caused by regrets. Pain that is caused by people. But people say, pain that is negated by a mindset. The pain of and the regret of how I live my life as a believer, if I do what I'm asked to do, believe and do good, I, inshallah, should have, and we should have no regrets afterwards, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of us and enter us into paradise. And that's when we will say, أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنَ. Alhamdulillah, Allah has taken away our grief and our pain and our regrets. The grief and the pain of making a choice and then regretting that choice. The Prophet is told, don't let that paralyze you. Don't let that regret the choices you made. You made the right choice. Now it's time to move on. Don't try to change the past. It's a very powerful, very liberating way to live your life. Not let the past define you. Not let the mistakes of the past bog you down. That's what the Prophet is being told, even though he made no mistake. But maybe the results were not achieved by him, but as he wanted to, that lack of results hurt him. And Allah tells him, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Don't let that hurt you. Don't let that second guess you. Don't try to change the past. And that is a very powerful way to deal, the very powerful explanation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the emotion of pain. Al-Raghib al-Asfahani says, explaining this concept, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ, because this is actually forbidding. This is a Arabic expression to forbid something. Allah is telling the Prophet, don't grieve. Al-Raghib says, فَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِنَحْيٍ عَنْ تَحْصِيلِ الْحُزْنِ. He says, this is not a prohibition. This is not a prohibition from getting sad. فَالْحُزْنُ لَيْسَ يَحْصُلُ بِالْإِخْتِيَارِ. Because pain and grief is not a choice. It just happens. You don't choose pain. You don't choose grief. It is an emotion that essentially chooses you. وَلَكِنَّ النَّهْيَ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ عَنْ طَعَاطِ مَا يُورِثُ الْحُزْنَ وَاكْتِسَابِهِ. Very interesting. He said, but what is the prohibition is not to let the pain hold us back. It is not to let the pain paralyze us. It is not to let the pain of people's words, of people's actions, of our own actions and our own consequences, the pain of that should not make us paralyzed and always thinking about if I did this, if I changed this, if I made this decision. No, that's what we're told not to do. The Prophet said this in a hadith, because لو تفتح, the word if I had done this, لو أني فعلت كذا لكان كذا, if I had done this it would have been that. Trying to change the past, that doesn't do anything. The only thing it does, it brings more pain. So that is what the prohibition is about, not to try to change the past and not to let the pain of choices, pain of people's words, even pain of, you know, the emotion we feel as a consequence of loss, don't let that be the thing that paralyzes you, holds you back, and defines you. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. So that is a nice explanation from Al-Raghib al-Asfahani, and quite a deep one if you think about it. Al-Qurtubi says something similar. He says that أَنَّ الْحُزْنَ لَيْسَ بِمَحْذُورٍ. He says, Yaqub alayhi salam is feeling a lot of pain. He says, يَا أَسَفَ, I am so sad. Right? Alas for my pain. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ, his eyes became whitened by pain, meaning he lost his eyesight. وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ, and he's really hurting and he's holding his pain down. He's suppressing his pain. This is a very... This is describing a man who's really, really grief-stricken from every aspect. How do you explain a prophet feeling this way? Well, he says, well, إِنَّ الْحُزْنِ لَيْسَ بِمَحْذُورٍ. It's not that pain is somehow forbidden, pain is somehow a bad thing to feel. Absolutely not. وَإِنَّمَا الْمَحْذُورِ الْوَلْوَلَى وَشَقِّ الثِّيَابِ وَشَقُّ الثِّيَابِ وَالْكَلَامُ بِمَا لَا يَنْبَغِي. Three things that Al-Qurtubi mentioned. He says, what is a problem, what is something we can't do, is the al-walwala, wailing and screaming. Shaqq al-thiyab, tearing clothes, and saying what is inappropriate. Three things. This of yelling and screaming, wailing and tearing clothes, this was an old Arab way of expressing grief. When you're sad, you would like yell and scream and tear your clothes, and that is an expression of grief, and people would see that as this person is trying to, you know, come to grips with their pain. But that is what we're told not to do. We're told not to do that. We're told not to say something inappropriate. We're actually told not even to complain to people about our pain. Yaqub al-Assam was not broadcasting his pain to the world. He was in fact suppressing it, holding it inside himself, and a secondary incident reopened his wounds. And then he said what he said, just almost uncontrollably, and not in a way to complain to others, as he himself clarifies. Because the next ayah, as soon as he says this, his sons are like, you are going to cause yourself to get destroyed. You will ruin yourself because you're suffering. Okay, basically they're trying to tell him, get on with it. And then he says to them, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I'm only complaining to this of my pain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not complaining to you. Like Shaykh Sa'adi says, you know, إِلَى اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا إِلَيْكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى غَيْرِكُمْ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ. I'm not complaining to you. I'm not complaining to anybody else. This is me expressing my grief to my Lord. This is me showing my absolute weakness to my Lord. That is something we're encouraged to do in our dua, in us reaching out to Allah to show to Him that, oh Allah, we are helpless, we are weakless, we're helpless, we're weak, we are powerless. You are the powerful. You are the one who is dominant. You are the one who controls everything. Oh Allah, bring us relief. Oh Allah, change our circumstances. That is a tadarru'. This is a beautiful way of seeking Allah's help. It's a beautiful way of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the only one that we should, express this emotion to. Not to people. Not complaining about this to people. Complaining to Allah in our dua. Asking Him for relief. Asking Him for strength. Asking Him to help us overcome the situation that we find ourselves to be in. So Al-Qurtubi says, Yaqub al-Islam is demonstrating how pain is experienced and how pain is expressed and how pain is then managed. He's not complaining. There's just so much pain. It's slipping out of his mouth, the expression. And when it's slipping out, it's not in a manner that is resentful, and it's not in a manner of a complaint to people. It is an expression of what he's feeling, and it's a seeking of Allah's help. And that's how we deal with our pain. We have to also understand that there are physical and mental effects of sadness are real. These are real things. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. Like the Quran says, his eyes, he lost his eyesight because of the pain. فَهُوَ كَظِيم. And he is كَظِيم, as described by the scholars of tafsir as مُمْتَلِئُ الْقَلْبِ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ الشَّدِيدِ. His heart is full of extreme intense pain. Al-Qurtubi says, Kazim is hazin la yashku huznahu. A person who is saddened but doesn't complain about his sadness. Kaazimin al-ghayz is describing the Quran as people who are suppressing their anger. Well, kaazimin al-ghayz, they're angry. The emotion of anger wants to just burst out, but they're suppressing it. They're holding it down, not letting it come out. That's the same expression that Allah describes our Prophet Yaqub. The pain is like about to come out. The desire to say something inappropriate is there. The desire to just shut down and feel helpless and hopeless is there, but he's suppressing that. We have to understand the effect of pain. That's the effect of pain. It wants to shut us down. It wants to make us say something that we will regret, that is emotional, that's perhaps irrational. We have to understand that's a real thing. The mental side of it, it affects a person's mental health. The physical effect of it, the loss of eyesight for Yaqub alayhi salam, these are all real things. The Quran acknowledges it, and also shows how this amazing prophet is dealing with it. Kalvim, he's suppressing. And he's not hopeless. He doesn't despair in Allah's mercy. The next ayah, actually, the last ayah I recited in the very beginning, he says to his sons, Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa la tayasu min rawhillah. My sons, go search for Yusuf and his brother. فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ. Go look for Yusuf and his brothers and don't despair of Allah's mercy. That this is a man who is going through pain and he's telling his sons, the ones who are responsible, whose choices brought him and his family in the situation, he's telling them, you guys don't lose hope. Go continue looking for Yusuf and his brother Binyamin, and don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Rauh, from the same root as ruh, soul, because the mercy of Allah, having hope in Allah's mercy, is kind of like our soul that gives us life. You lose that, it's as if you're lifeless. So that is what he says. This is an incredible way of expressing pain, recognizing it's real, recognizing its effects on our mental health, on our physical health, but then also describing how it is that we go about it. We don't let our pain define us. We don't let our pain paralyze us. We don't let it ever make us lose hope in Allah's mercy. Never. That is what pain cannot do. And that is something that we control. And that's something that our Prophet ﷺ demonstrated, our Prophet Yaqub demonstrated. We control that. We don't control the emotion of pain. What do you say when you're in pain? If you can't say something inappropriate, if you're trying to not... say something irrational, you're suppressing the desire, the thought of saying that. What do you say? We look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he was in the painful state that he found himself to be in after losing his child Ibrahim, his last son Ibrahim, he, ﷺ, Ibrahim is taking his last few breaths. The Prophet ﷺ is holding Ibrahim. This is in Sahih Bukhari. فَقَبَّلَهُ The Prophet ﷺ kissed him. And وَشَمَّهُ He smelled him. He smelled Ibrahim, his son. But he knows he's about to lose his child. He's, choking up. The child is gasping for air. He's in his last moments of his life. The Prophet ﷺ is in this state. And the narrator of the hadith describes, فَجَعَلَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى تَذْرِفًا. And as the Prophet is experiencing this, very painful, his eyes are overflowing with tears. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf says to the Prophet ﷺ, وَأَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You, O Messenger of Allah, you're crying like this? It's almost like, he's like, we didn't think you would cry. Like pain, we would think you're immune to pain. Because you know Allah's decree better than anybody of us. You understand qadar better than anybody else. You know you're going to meet your son in paradise, and more than anybody else, that yaqeen you have more than anybody else. Why are you crying? Why are you feeling pain? Abdurrahman ibn Auf was maybe thinking that a believer becomes immune to pain. The Prophet ﷺ explains, فَقَالَ يَبْنَ عَوْفْ إِنَّهَا رَحْمَةٌ. He says, this is Allah's mercy. This is mercy. This pain, the crying, this is not something that's a bad thing. This is a good thing. Crying to get over our difficult situation is not it's not a indictment on of a person's iman or their character. It doesn't show that they have shortcomings in their character. Of course not. It shows they have mercy. It is an expression of mercy. Innaha rahma. Then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna al-'ayna tadma'u wal qalbu aw al-qalba yahzanu wa la naqulu illa ma yurdi rabbana wa inna bi firaqika ya ibrahim la mahzunun. He says the eyes are overflowing with tears and the heart is struck with grief. وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنْ وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنْ from the same root. But we don't say anything that will displease our Lord. Recognizing that pain is real. Recognizing that it will cause us to cry. That is the way of the Prophet ﷺ. But also not letting pain dictate the actions that we can control ourselves. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. We don't say anything that displeases our Lord. We choose silence. We cry instead of saying something inappropriate. That is what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us, of how to deal with the pain of loss. This is the huzn of loss. وَإِنَّ بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. We're really, really sad to lose you, O Ibrahim. He says that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're taught to say, Al-Istirja' Inna Lillahi Wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'u. We're taught to say that. The famous hadith of the man who loses his child and Allah is asking the angels of who have taken the soul of this child, قَبَطْتُمْ ثَمَرَةَ فُؤَادِهِ. You've taken the soul of this child. The angels say, yes. Have you taken away the apple of his eye? The angel's like, yeah. فَمَاذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي. Allah says, what did my servant say? حَمِدَكَ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ. He praised you. He said, Alhamdulillah. And he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Indeed, we are from Allah and we belong and return to Him. We are Allah's and we will return to Allah. And Allah says about this man who said this at the loss of his child, أُبْنُوا لِعَبْدِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَسَمُّوهُ بَيْتَ الْحَمْدِ. Make for my servant a house in paradise and call it the house of praise, because he praised me and said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And probably the most difficult thing a man or a woman would experience, losing their infant child. That moment of extreme pain, this person is saying showing how it is we are feeling pain and how we're dealing with our pain. Feeling it because, like Allah says, قَبَطْتُمْ ثَمَرَةَ فُؤَادِهِ. You took away the apple of his eye. This man is going to be hurting. But he doesn't let his hurt cause him to say something that he will regret. So he doesn't say that. He says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We're taught to say that in the moments of grief. Sa'id ibn Jubair actually says something interesting. He says that this statement, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, is something that Allah chose for this ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. It wasn't chosen for other ummahs. This statement is so powerful, it was given to us as a means for us, as a coping mechanism for us. Allah gave it. He didn't even give it to Prophet Yaqub, because the Prophet Yaqub said, Ya Asafa, alas for Joseph, alas for my pain. And he says, لو كان عنده لما قال يا أسفا, right? لم يكن عند يعقوب ما في كتابنا من الاسترجاع. He says Yaqub did not have this dua of إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And had he been taught this dua, he would have said that instead. So this is a beautiful thing for us that we're given by Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Way to cope with what is tough. And the Prophet of course said, إذا أصاب أحدكم غم أو كرب فليقل. If someone has been afflicted by pain or a unpleasant situation, they should say, Allahu Allahu Rabbi la ushriku bihi shay'a. Allah, Allah is my Lord. I don't associate anyone with him. The expression of turning back to Allah. This is how we cope with our pain. This is how we let the words of Allah heal us. This is how we let the words of Allah console us in difficult times. That is what our Prophet Yaqub is teaching us. That is what the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. It doesn't make us, you know, immune to pain. That's impossible. The Prophet ﷺ felt pain. Yaqub ﷺ felt pain. The Quran goes and describes how pain is multifaceted. It's layered. It's got many causes. And beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. Describes as the pain of loss, the pain of regret, the pain of choices, the pain of what people say and what people do to you. All of these are layers of it. We're taught to recognize it. We're taught to recognize that it has an effect. There's a physical effect. There is a mental effect. There's an effect, like the Prophet said, إِنَّهَا رَحْمَةً. The response, the defense mechanism of the body to cry. It's a recognition that this is a real thing, not to suppress it. Doesn't make you more manly. The Prophet ﷺ was the most manly of all men. And he cried profusely. That's an expression of understanding our emotions and understanding the reality of them. But then again, we seek consolation, we seek support, we seek help in Allah's words. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahu Allahu Rabbi la ushriku bihi shay'a. We ask Allah to allow us to understand our pain and to say the right words, seek consolation in His words. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask Allah to relieve the pain of those who are in difficulty. We ask Allah to cure those who are sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of all the believers who are going through difficult times because of COVID-19 and other situations, and bring relief to all of us soon in its immediateness, not delayed. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.